more chaos and mayhem. It's the news, according to me. Oh, good morning. It's Monday morning. It's already 8:55. It's almost 9 o'clock. By the time this gets posted, it's already 9 o'clock. 9:30, probably. Oh, goodness gracious. It is Monday, July 22nd, 2024. And I am here to try to make some sense of this mess. Now, I have only heard about what's in my cup. I have not tried it. Let's see what's in here. Yep, it's a creamy chai with Cinnabon creamer. And I have homemade sweet tea in my cup this morning. I'm almost tempted to say it's my main cup and not my backup. My backup cup is the chai this morning. But I'm going to revert to my old standard. I've got the main cup is going to be my chai. That's good stuff. And I've got sweet tea as my backup. A big glass of sweet tea. So I made a gallon of sweet tea. I got to drink it all today. Made it last night. I drank some of it last night, yesterday afternoon. But you know what I mean. Yesterday, whatever. I don't drink tea at night too much. It's not sweet tea anyway. It's not good for you. Drink that kind of stuff right before you go to sleep. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm just a guy who is paying attention to what's going on. I tell you what, for a while I thought maybe the rules were going to forbid Joe Biden from stepping out or anybody, whatever was going to happen there. I wasn't sure what was going to happen. Now, the convention's coming up here in August for the DNC. And obviously the big news now is that Joe Biden has agreed to step down from the campaign. Now, he's not going to resign from office, and he is endorsing. This is all a political shell game, folks. This is the Democrat Party right now. If you understand what's going on with, and I'm talking about the establishment elites in the Democrat Party. You have to understand who's running the show here. We've got superdelegates behind the scenes who are ready to establish they're going to anoint their Messiah, the one who is going to be the greatest person on the planet. Now, you will hear right now that, of course, Kamala Harris, she's going to be the presumptive nominee until the convention. And what we're going to find out is the convention is going to be an open convention and she's not going to be the nominee. She might be. Here's what's complicated about this. Joe Biden cannot just pass off his nomination, his delegates, to someone else. He can only suggest what they do. He can endorse Kamala Harris, which he had to do because he was being pressured, or you might say blackmailed, and I don't mean that in a racial sense. What's the term? What's the other term for it? Bribed, I guess. Coerced into placing Kamala, not passing up Kamala. The plan was just to step down from nomination and say there's going to be an open convention. That was not allowed because I think it was Claiborne. Is it Ray Claiborne? Whatever the guy's name is. It was in West Virginia. I think it was West Virginia. Who basically is the only reason Joe Biden was able to win the nomination. The big concern back in the day with Joe Biden was that he was, that they thought Bernie Sanders could possibly win because there was the Democrat Party was in such disarray during the 2020, what do you want to call it, the primary season. It was such a mess, if you recall. And because of that, they were concerned that Bernie Sanders had a chance to get in again, or that some other candidate that didn't want that could possibly push their way in because it was so divided on the votes. So they made all these deals behind the scenes as things happen, as they always do. All these phone calls start happening, emails, phone calls, mostly phone calls because it's harder to track those things. Personal meetings people were having with each other. a lot of things going on right then. And to understand also as well that this was in the midst of the COVID chaos that was going on. So right away, early on in the primary, Ray Claiborne basically, I think it was he was I don't know if it was Ray or not Claiborne. He actually endorsed Biden and was able to get Biden into the he pulled some strings. Let's just say that for Joe to be in the nomination. I would guess these deals are always cut with all kinds of stipulations, and I would bet one of those stipulations they did not like. Kamala attacked Joe Biden on the debate stage in the primaries, if you recall. Basically called him a racist. Came after him pretty bad, pretty hard. And all of a sudden, she's the VP pick. There's a reason for that. And I believe it was because of the Black Caucus putting pressure on him, basically, again, coercing him into making a decision to make her the VP. Fully well knowing, I'm sure, that they didn't think he was going to make it through office, through a full term for 4 years. Which everybody's surprised that there has been a full term. He's not really all there. He's here, but he's not all there. So I think that what has happened here, here's how I see it, knowing these people the way, because I studied under the Rush Limbaugh EIB studies in the University of Conservative Studies for over 20 years. And you learn about what these people are like and and I'm talking about the, not the average run-of-the-mill Democrat that's out there in the world or that's even in office, but the establishment elites within the party. Hillary Clinton's was it Jackson Lee? What was her name? Passed away over the weekend. I guess she was fighting cancer. I had no idea. Sad that she had to go like that, especially that way. It's not easy for anybody to fight. She was a Democrat. I don't remember what state she's in. I think it might have been California, but it might have been New York. I think it could have been someplace in the South. I don't know where she's from. I think her name is Jackson Lee. I don't know. Saw that she passed away. It was kind of a surprise. I had no idea she was struggling with anything. I didn't like her policies, but nobody should have to go through that kind of thing. Unfortunately, that's the world we live in. The people here that we're dealing with, the deals that are being cut, the strong arming that's going on in the situation. I'm sure that the people in the Biden administration right now are furious about what they see happening. Because they see the handwriting on the wall. What's happening here? The Biden-Harris administration, even if Kamala steps in, there's a lot of heads going to roll. A lot of people who are working for Biden today will not be working for Harris. I guarantee you it's going to be a very different administration. So everybody's job is on the line. Now, not everyone's. But people are nervous about, not everybody's going to lose their job. The problem is everyone's possibility of losing a job within the Biden administration is probably there. The Harris administration, of course, is going to take over. I'm sure she's got people that are kissing up to her a lot. Now, the problem with Harris is many fold here. She has never really shown herself to be a good, she's got a lot of weaknesses. Namely, that she has no brain. But other than that, beyond that, they're treating her like she would be the first black woman. Well okay, so she's not necessarily. This is the way they did with Barack Obama. He was half black, but he's black man. His mother was white. Kamala Harris's mother was Indian, from India. And she looks more Indian than she does African-American, but her father was Jamaican, which you can trace those roots back to Africa if you wanted to. But there's, you know, people who are from Egypt that they don't call black, but they're... Just put it this way, there are people from Africa that they don't consider African-American. But they're from the continent of Africa. I don't know how many generations you have to go back on a continent before you become indigenous to that continent. George Carlin, you know, bless his heart, he's an atheist, but he said a lot of things that make a lot of common sense. He talked about everybody being from somewhere else. Everybody's a visitor. Everybody's an immigrant, so to speak. Nobody is didn't just spring from the grass. Even though that's the tradition of some Native Americans. And he's got a really good, he just has, it's really, this is like a 1 minute thing he says, and it's actually pretty powerful. It kind of just boils it down to, this is ridiculous stuff, the way we treat each other, like indigenous people. Nobody's indigenous. Indigenous means you've sprung up from the grass there, that area. How many generations do you have to be there before you're indigenous? I asked that question one time on YouTube. I got an answer. Three. So, okay, so I'm a Native American then. Family's been here for 8 generations. Actually, 7, actually. I'm the 8th. It's just ridiculous things like this. Oh, but you're a colonizer. No, it's not the way my family came over here, but it's whatever. Again, it's racist rhetoric. We have the Democrat Party is, I guarantee you, in meltdown mode right now. It is, there are people screaming right now. There's probably someone on some phone calls being screaming at someone, panicking, slamming phones down. They're all in a tizzy, taking their frustrations out on each other, because it's all a big power play. It's all about power. It's not when they talk about our democracy is at stake, they're talking about their power is at stake. There's a really good interview that I saw over the weekend. This one lady was being asked some questions, and she just played it out the way, you know, she was just obviously understood the Democrat Party very well. She was talking about how the Democrats are talking about their power. They're not talking about. Now, Claiborne was basically just, you know, do not pass over Kamala. You're not going to do that. Because, you know, they don't want to see just another white man stuck into place there. Or even a white woman, for that matter. So there's a lot of interesting things happening there. Joy Reid, the blonde African-American who is apparently suffering from, I don't know if she fell and hit her head. I don't know what happened to her, but she's just extremely just insane right now. So just has a lot of issues. These people who are coming up with this idea that this whole thing was staged. It was all staged. It was all fake. It was a false flag. On and on and on with this whole thing with the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. They can't stand the fact that this has elevated the guy. That his true nature has come out, that he's been shown to be. Now here's, I want to get into this a little bit too, because I need to say, I'm not sure what the rest of my week is going to look like, so I'm not sure it's going to be a show the rest of the week, but here's my concern is that the Republican Party is all unified right now around Donald Trump. Now, he has changed. He is definitely a changed man. He's got a different temperament now in his speeches and his rallies. But my concern, this people have a tendency to do this all the time. And let me just explain what I'm talking about here. We have a tendency to put people on pedestals. We love to put people on pedestals. Make them out to be more than they are. Or put them in such a situation that we just think that we almost, not deify them, but messiahify them. And that's not fair to Donald Trump, first of all. He's going to fail you. He's going to upset you. He's going to do something that you're not going to like. He's not Superman. And he's not the second coming. He knows that. I believe he knows that. I think he's been very humbled by what has happened in the last couple of weeks. However, people are lifting him up and elevating him to, I see people just kind of a little bit going overboard with this, some of this stuff. Now, the economy is not, the world is not going to be magically transformed the day Donald Trump steps into office. In fact, I believe the powers that be, the powers behind the scenes, are going to try to crash the economy. We are on the verge of that happening anyway. And I think they've been putting band-aids on this thing for a long time. They're going to see Donald Trump as, they want to see him ruined. And like I said, the end justifies the means with these people. They don't care. If it kills everybody, they're going to try to do this man in. Because they're the fascists. They're the ones who are the Marxists here. They have an agenda. Get things done by 2030, and they've got to get done. And Trump be damned kind of thing. And it's amazing to me. So that they're going to try to make him look bad as they can, this whole thing. I believe they're going to crash the economy once he steps into office. If we make it that far. There are a lot of loonies out there right now that are emboldened by this last opportunity, saying, I can do a better job. I can shoot better than that. Look, it only takes a couple hundred people to have that kind of passion and desire to do someone in. And they're going to overwhelm the Secret Service system, especially the way they've been treated. The incompetence that was there, I have the utmost respect for Secret Service agents. But they didn't have the A-team there that day. I think by design. Personally, that's just my opinion. I think that they were lax. I think there were people like Peter Strzok, Andy McCabe, those kinds of people are there in the Secret Service. You know, it's not just all agents. There are people there who are administrative. And I guarantee you they're the ones who are making these decisions and making these assignments know exactly what they're doing. Well, I don't know if Cheadle was actually making the decision about the sloped roof or if she just heard that that's what the decision was. I don't think she makes those kinds of minute micro decisions. Maybe she does. Maybe she's involved that. You know, maybe she's a micromanager. I doubt it. She probably gets, you know, there's people that report to her. She sits in an office. She doesn't go out and look at a building. So just, you have to understand how all this stuff goes together. And it's just, it's not what we think of. She's being told about this slope on this roof because somebody told her that. And she finds out it's a 5-degree slope and there was other agents on a 20-degree slope. But they were on that roof. They dropped the ball and they know it. And now they're lying about things. They're being caught in all kinds of lies, trying to cover up either their ineptitude or the fact that they had someone slack off intentionally. There's all kinds of mens rea here. There's all kinds of motive that we have to discuss here. It's one of those things where an investigation, of course, we have the FBI investigating this, and you know the FBI and the Secret Service. There is kind of a rivalry between the FBI and the CIA and the Secret Service. So maybe we will get a good investigation, but I doubt it. The FBI recalled, you know, they're the ones who held on. I could go through a long list. In fact, there's a guy who the other day read off a list of all the things the FBI has done over the last, you know, 8 years. And it is absolutely mind-boggling of the level of incompetence in terms of the Hunter Biden laptop, the amount of evidence, text messages, emails, that they have lost. This goes all the way back to 2016, when they hired, by the way, FBI, you know, when the servers were broken into, supposedly, at the DNC, and we found out all this stuff about Bernie Sanders and all the people who were involved in all the shenanigans going on behind the scenes with Hillary Clinton and the superdelegates. That was all spilled out through WikiLeaks because of a leak to them by the DNC servers that were broken into, supposedly, by Russians that CrowdStrike, because, you see, FBI didn't investigate. They didn't turn their servers over to the FBI. They turned their servers over because they knew better. So they had an independent operation, which was started. CrowdStrike, by the way, was started by the Democrats. It was Democrat money. CrowdStrike started off as a very little bitty, this little bitty thing, this operation that was done out of this guy's basement. And it quickly became huge because of a little thing called the Clinton Foundation. If you look into the whole, where the money has gone from this stuff. The DNC hired them then to come in and check out the servers. And his initial assessment was, this came from a Russian hack. And then about a year and a half later, he said, there's no evidence of the other Russian hack. We just assumed it. It just looked like one. But there's no evidence of it. In fact, the forensic people who did look at it, very astute, very good, highly trained individuals, very, very educated individuals that looked at this thing, said there's no way this hack was done via the internet. So we have a situation here where a thumb drive was probably used to download all this information. The servers weren't that big. They didn't have that much. Emails don't take up that much data unless you have a lot of pictures in them, and most of them don't. You could plug in a small hard drive, a 2 terabyte hard drive, to this thing and probably get all the data downloaded you needed to get off the server directly plugging into it. Well, the only people who can do that are people who have access actually physically to the servers. Seth Rich was one of those people. Seth Rich had a chip on his shoulder because of what happened because what he found out about the servers and what he found out about the emails and what they were doing to Bernie Sanders behind the scenes. He saw what they were doing. He was insider enough to know what was going on, so he downloaded all the emails off the server. Leaked them to WikiLeaks. And he was soon, strangely enough, killed 2 blocks from his apartment in a random shooting where they didn't take anything from him. They just shot him and went away. And of course, his parents are upset that anybody would suggest that he was murdered by, or that he was assassinated under nefarious conditions. However, I would venture to say that this is probably what happened. I think there was some involvement somewhere with what was going on there. Now, having said all that, what's happening now behind the scenes is the Democrats are in total, it's a civil war going on behind the scenes because everybody wants power. Everybody wants access. Everybody wants to have an input in this thing. And then you got the people who are just bubbling over with hatred for Trump. They don't care about anything else, but just get Trump out of there. Don't let Trump in. Trump could win every state in the union. Every state in the union could turn red. All 50 states could be red. And they would still say that he's going to destroy our democracy. That everybody hates him. He's a monster. That's the only thing that they see here. They're so delirious and delusional with their hatred and rage. They can't think clearly. They want to see him killed. There are people out there on the street willing to say he should be killed. Wish that guy would have killed him. That's how bad they think this guy is. They think he's a monster. And Joy Reid, I believe it was Joy Reid. It may have been Whoopi Goldberg, but I'm pretty sure it was Joy Reid who came out and said, and I wish I had the audio of this, because I heard it last week. I wish I would have saved it. Oh, they're bringing out his granddaughter, and they're bringing out all these people, and he's talking about all this stuff, different stuff, and they're trying to humanize him. Don't you fall for that. Because he's not what? He's not human? Really? I think maybe you're the one who needs some counseling, Joy. Donald Trump is a human being. He came within an inch of losing. When you look at, somebody did it. There's really been all this analysis, and I'm not going to, I hate to rehash this whole thing all the time, but this one I think that was most compelling was a frontal shot of how the bullet was traveling. And at the moment that Donald Trump turned his head, it would have hit him in his right eye. We're talking square into his head. He would have been gone. At the moment he moved his head to look at that thing and cocked his head just a little bit to the left, it was probably about less than half a second after that trigger was pulled. As the trigger was being pulled, he was moving his head. The thing went whizzing by. Between his head and his earlobe, and it just caught the inside top part of his earlobe. That's not a coincidence. Now, sadly, another man was in the way of that bullet. That very same bullet was the one who passed through Corey. I can't explain that. I don't understand how God has one person at one place at the one time and the other person is just, I don't understand that at all. But that's the nature of the mystery of our life here on this planet. We have interesting shenanigans being pulled now with the Democrat Party. Here's how I see it playing out. I want to try to lay this out. Joe Biden saves himself by endorsing Kamala Harris. It doesn't mean she's going to get his delegates. He's just endorsing her. He can request that the delegates pass on their vote to Kamala Harris. That does not happen. That is not his decision to make. It is the delegates now are free to vote for whoever. All they have to do is say two words, open convention. Delegates are now free to do whatever they want. Now there's all the negotiating in the world goes on, and Joe Biden has nothing to do with it. He has a contingency there. He will have a contingency at the conference at the convention, and he will be able to. He won't be able to, but his people will be trying to cut deals Everybody wants a piece of the pie. Everybody wants a piece of the action. They all want a piece of the access and the power. There are going to be enemies made. And at the end of it, you're going to see a convention that is in disarray. You saw the Republican convention. If you watched it at all, all you saw was unity. It was just everybody was unified because of what had just happened. There's an interesting, and it's in Leviticus. When this happened, this word pass through my brain, and it's been interesting to see that other people have put this together. But there's this whole thing about the left ear and the right ear, and what they all symbolize in terms of Hebrew thought, Hebrew things, as well as the idea of pinning your ear to the door. This is when a servant requests that, or a slave requests that his ear be pierced to the door of the master. It is pierced through with a pinned to the door. It is an act of, I no longer want to be your servant. I want to be your servant. It's a lifelong commitment that servant is making to that master. It is a free will act of free will, saying, I will serve you for as long as you live. Or as long as I live. Voluntarily. And a lot of people are putting this down as God's pinning of Donald Trump's ear. Sort of, there's this whole, all this symbology stuff. I don't know. It is interesting. I'm not saying it is or it isn't. I'm just saying it's interesting. I don't know. But that word from Leviticus did kind of pop into my head, into my mind, into my thinking when this all happened, when I found out about what actually happened. So it's interesting that has been kind of coming out there. And there's a long... much more, a lot more to it than that as well. The right side, the right ear, all this stuff about one listens, the other one. It's just there's a whole lot of symbology going on there, and I don't doubt for a moment. I think the death of Corey deeply affected Donald Trump. He realizes that a man died at one of his rallies. A bullet that was meant for him took the life of someone else. I don't think Donald Trump takes that lightly. Who can? Who can do that? And of course, Joy Reid can't stand the fact that this humanizes him. And we can't have that. Because he's a monster. He's just a machine. He's a Hitler. He's worse than Hitler. Unless somebody else, of course, except for J.D. Vance, he's even worse than Hitler. They just keep getting worse as it goes. Now, having said that, here's what's happening behind the scenes. I keep talking about what's going to happen behind the scenes here, but I'm not. Well, first of all, let me play this first, because I think this is telling, very telling of what's happening with the Democrat Party. One of the things, this has to do more with enthusiasm within the Democrat Party, because there is none. And this is evidence of it, especially in swing states right now. They're really struggling with this. This is somebody from MSNBC talking about how they can't find people to go out and, let alone come out to vote. They can't find anybody to go out and knock on doors and do the work behind the scenes. Nobody's answering the phones. Let's listen into what this guy has to say. He's one of the few honest people at MSNBC.
The Democratic base right now is just entirely lacking for intensity. I mean, when I talk with Democrat elected officials in the battleground states, they tell me the same story over and over and over again. They can't find anybody to come out and volunteer for them to do the sort of work that that's necessary in a field operation because there's just no enthusiasm. I mean, we hear all the time about the cliche enthusiasm gap in politics. I've never seen an enthusiasm gap like the one we're witnessing in the summer of this election year. I've heard horror stories from people on the ground in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, in Arizona about just striking out time and time again as local Democratic Party chapters, county chapters have tried to get people to come in and phone bank, to get mail going, to knock on doors. They can't do it. They can't find people.
The enthusiasm is gone. People are not willing to show up to help Joe Biden. Now, this may all change. This could change overnight if they come up with a candidate that people can get enthused about. Or if the media can somehow drum people up into thinking that Kamala Harris is the end-all candidate, the only candidate that can ever beat Donald Trump. This is the perfect person. It's the, all of a sudden, we're going to anoint her and she's going to be the Messiah. It's just, this is the way they do it. Kamala can be the worst person in the world. And they don't want Kamala to be in there until she is. And then all of a sudden, she is the most wonderful person on the planet. The most, you know, everybody has to vote for her because she's the perfect candidate. And she's, you know, she's not Donald Trump. Now, Gavin Newsom, he's a possibility. There's also there's other possibilities as well. But this Gretchen Whitmer, there's other people like that that are out there that just. She's got a lot of baggage, but that they'll hide all that. Don't worry. They'll take care of all that. They'll package this person up and tie a bow around them, and it'll be the perfect person. And they're like they came down from heaven to bless us with their presence, and they're, you know, far better than Trump. That's all they run on. They're just better than Trump. I'm not Donald Trump. Got to vote for me. It's the anti-Trump vote. So Trump is the pro-American vote. The Democrats have the anti-Trump vote. People have a harder time being motivated, especially the independents. They have a harder time being motivated to get out and vote if it's just an anti-vote. I don't think they see Donald Trump has been in office already for 4 years. I don't think they see him as being this big monster. Now, there are some who say, oh, January 6th was just across the line. Oh, January 6th. Did Donald Trump order January 6th? Did he order those people to go in that building? Oh, yeah. That was his grab. No, he never did. He never said that. In fact, it's very evident to me that there were some people instigating that whole thing that were, I think there were some overzealous folks that were Trump supporters who didn't like what happened in the election. That's very true. I do believe that happened. Yeah. I think that some of the instigators behind the scenes and some of the people calling for some things and people, the enablers, and the fact that they had no security there, not enough security, they knew better. It was all by design. I think there's plenty of evidence of that in the videos and the things that were said afterwards. So, I'm going to lay this out and I'll be done. Joe Biden endorses Kamala Harris. Doesn't mean she's going to be the nominee. We come up to the convention. She's like, is it 2 weeks away? Democrat convention, which is going to look like a clown show compared to what the Republicans did. Don't just listen. Watch it for yourself. Don't listen to what MSNBC and CNN say, because all they say is, oh, it was just a rambling bunch of, it was just crazy. It was just nuts. It was a boring convention. That's what it's been in the past. Which I don't mind boring. I'd rather see it a bit boring than wacky, loony, crazy stuff going on. So we have this going on. So we have Joe Biden endorsing Kamala Harris. Now, here's how I think it went down. I think that they basically came to Joe and said, "Look, Joe, you either step aside as the campaign as the nominee, you withdraw from the campaign." Endorse Kamala, or we will boot you out of office for incompetence. We're going to 25th Amendment you, and that's just the way it's going to happen. Now, Kamala, and my understanding is, now I may not be correct on all this legal stuff, because, again, I'm not a lawyer or a physician or an epidemiologist or a garbage man. I have no doubt that the possibility that the Kamala administration could be very closely tied to the Black Caucus and the Ray, you know, the Claibornes of the world, the other elites that are part of this whole civil war that's going on behind the scenes. And it's not just two sides to this war. There are many factions in the Democrat Party right now, which is why it's just in shambles. Not saying they can't pull out of it, because they have the media on their side. They have all this power to pull this whole thing together. And they do surprisingly stand in lockstep once they, well, at least on the front, on the political theater stage, they will come out in lockstep. But here's how it went down. They basically threatened Joe, basically, with the 25th Amendment, which would mean that Joe Biden would be out as the nominee and out as the president, and that Kamala would be the 47th president. That would make Trump the 48th. I believe that they threatened him with that possibility. That's my hypothesis here, if you want to call it that. It's my theory. They are fully capable of all this. Don't get me wrong. This is one of those things where it's whether it happened or not, this is all definitely something that they could have potentially designed. Now, so when we get up close to the convention and we're starting to have talk about the convention, and all of a sudden we find out that this is going to be an inside track club. I just got an email from Harbor Freight. Wow. This is going to be an inside job. Where they are going to basically use the superdelegates are going to decide what this race, who's going to get this thing. They're going to anoint whoever they want. I guarantee you it's not going to be Kamala Harris. If it comes through that she ends up with the nomination after the convention, all I'm going to say about this is that there was some serious arm twisting behind the scenes to get her in to be the candidate. The only candidate that really concerns me at this point in this whole thing is Gavin Newsom, because he's slick. Now, if they put Kamala in as VP again with him, again, I'm going to doubt that's going to happen, but I'm also going to doubt that she would even accept that. There are people in this whole thing, involved in this whole thing, that are going to just be fighting tooth and nail in this process. And I guarantee you the phone calls that are happening today, the things that are happening this week prior to this convention are just going to be, if you could hear all the chatter going on behind the scenes, you would be astounded and amazed, I'm sure. I have questions as to whether or not Joe Biden will actually even serve out his term yet. He's still got another 6 months, I believe, or whatever it is, five months till January. And they still have that to hang over his head up until the convention time. And I believe that will even play into part of what is decided at the convention. That's not, even though he's pulled back from that, there's, you know, his administration still has some power. He loses a lot of that. But I believe if you could see the things that are going on behind the scenes at this convention, as it comes up here, just the leading up to and during the convention, We may end up walking away from that convention with still not really understanding who the nominee is. They've got to endorse somebody. They've got to have somebody come out at the end of the thing and make a speech and say, I'm now the nominee. Right now, it's not going to be Joe Biden. But this throws everything into disarray. And it's a very short period of time, which I think is some of it's by design. I think that they were trying to hold off putting anybody up there so that they couldn't be vetted, so they couldn't be, you know, they want to try to pull somebody out that can just kind of win on a dime. And I personally believe that person is probably going to be Gavin Newsom. I don't know. The question is who would his running mate be or who might he be running with? Maybe they're going to make it Kamala Harris and Gavin Newsom's going to be the VP. I don't know. This will be really interesting. I would love to see a debate between Gavin Newsom and J.D. Vance. That would be very interesting. Now, that's my theory. That's what I'm going to go with. And I realize that these are all things that are very up in the air right now. We don't know. And there may be things happening behind the scenes that I am totally unaware of, which I have no doubt that's the case. The powers that be, you still have the Clintons involved in some of this stuff. Because the Clintons have some things to protect. They have to make sure that they're the people that are in the inside of that power issue and the access that they have are people who they have things against that they can control. And of course, then you got the deep state, you got the FBI, the administrative state, the NSA, the OSI, all these other organizations that want to be also able to manipulate and control their puppet. We're going to try besides this. Folks, God bless. Have a great day. Have a great week. Hopefully I'll have another show this week. I have no idea how the rest of my week's going to go. Take care.